From Nevada Public Radio, I'm Joe Shaneman. It's State of Nevada. It's been argued that the Clark County Board of Commissioners is more important than the state legislature, even the governor's office. They oversee the state's economic engine, the Las Vegas Strip. They oversee one of the largest and busiest airports in the country, Reed International. They also oversee the state's only nonprofit public hospital, University Medical Center. And they make rules and laws for unincorporated Clark County, which is home to about the same number of people that live in Las Vegas and Henderson combined. One of the seats up for election this fall is District A. That seat is currently held by Michael Naft, and that district includes some of the southwestern part of the county. It includes Laughlin and the fast-growing south end of the Strip. Naft has held that seat since 2019. He'll face Republican Ryan Hamilton in November. Michael Naft, welcome to the program.
Joe, thank you for having me back on and for always covering important local issues.
Well, let's get into this. There are always things that need to be improved with our public services. Where do you think the commission and you have succeeded in the last 5 years, and where do you think the county needs to improve?
Well, some of the things that I'm most proud of are the work that I've done on 911 response times. And let's start there. You know, several years ago, I looked at the response times of private ambulance companies, realized that they weren't up to par. And the county has, in that amount of time, shifted the way that we respond through the private ambulance agreements to make sure that, one, we're holding our contractors accountable, and two, that when it comes to public safety, we're prioritizing speed. The rapidness to which our private ambulance companies respond is often the difference between life and death. The second area that you have dedicated a lot of time on your show to is traffic safety. Traffic safety, you know, is something that is so important to me because we're literally losing hundreds of people a year to traffic fatalities, but it also tugs on our pocketbooks. Taxpayers are feeling it in their insurance policies. So I've looked at this from every angle. I created the Office of Traffic Safety, which has been incredibly vital to changing the way that Clark County does everything from design engineers, builds our roads, to the way that we respond to emergencies, to the way our court systems interact and deal with these issues. I've also successfully passed several ordinances that I believe make a strong impact in our community. The Safe Sidewalk Ordinance, which requires detached sidewalks on roads in our valley that are being developed, which we know absolutely saves lives in this community and across the country and is so important.
As you said, you helped establish the Office of Traffic Safety. That's about a little more than 2 years ago. This year, again, we're on track for another deadly year in vehicle crashes, but more so of people hitting and killing pedestrians. And I wonder, would you support red light cameras that could ticket people who run red lights, which are seen as one of the culprits in this problem?
I support the sheriff's effort and others' efforts to expand traffic safety cameras and utilize them, implement them in the valley. I think they can be done equitably. And I think you see both across the country and around the world, these technologies, they save lives and they also can be attributed to truly improving the quality of life for communities.
You know, some people in the community are worried about the growth. And I wonder about what you think about our water supply. If people keep cutting back and saving, which they are asked to do, and they've done really admirably in this county for two decades now, should we just keep saving and taxing people for using more water just to allow more growth? And again, more worries about where the next year's water supply is going to come from.
You're right that people have absolutely stepped up to the plate in a big way, and it's both people and the private sector. Some of the policies that have been passed in the last several years, whether it's the turf useless grass removal or the evaporative cooling or the caps on large, massive swimming pools, have impacted different people, but they have impacted the community at large. I think you're going to see more coming out on golf course restrictions, looking at it in a way that is thoughtful and not overly heavy-handed, but a smarter approach to this, making sure that we're continuing to approve development with appropriate landscaping that's drought tolerant. All of this, I believe, will allow us to respect private property rights while growing responsibly.
An ongoing issue for businesses and residents is homelessness. A new report just came out. It says the number of unhoused counted this year is 20% higher than a year ago. Some of these are seniors who've been pushed out of their homes by higher rents. There's also been about a 20% increase in families now on the streets. Current law allows police to break up homeless encampments if there's available space for those people in shelters. But the U.S. Supreme Court said governments can remove homeless encampments off sidewalks and potentially arrest those people, even if shelters have space. Do you support that? And do you want the county and Las Vegas police to do that?
I was also out there in the middle of the night doing the what you're referring to, the 2024 point in time contact count, something that is critical to how Southern Nevada receives federal dollars to grapple with this important problem. But I think it's also important to recognize while the numbers are really bleak, you look at 2,6500 individuals in 2023 compared to 3,705, I believe, individuals who are now receiving shelter. And I think that's attributable to an enormous amount of resources that Clark County has put into trying to tackle this problem. It's not enough. It's not a one-size-fits-all. This is a complex, challenging problem that jurisdictions across this country and around the world are dealing with. But you can't just give up and throw your hands up because this is something that impacts everybody's quality of life and of course, impacts individuals and human beings in this community. I think some of the innovative things that you can point to that Clark County has done are as wide-ranging as the Community Land Trust, something that will no doubt help people not just one moment in time, but actually develop equity of their own and move up and onward through our system. I think that's a program that will be looked to by other municipalities. You mentioned something that is particularly close to my heart, which is affordable senior housing. Just the other day, I was touring one of the latest projects that I approved and was able to help move forward for restricted senior affordable housing. There's already a wait list. And this isn't some abstract. These are our grandparents. These are our parents who just need a little bit of help at the end of their years. So we have allocated funds, I believe, in a smart way where we're closing the gap, where we're attracting affordable home builders. I think that's a good thing, and we will continue to see the benefits of what has been, at times, a rather slow process to get off the ground.
That's Michael Naft. He's the Clark County Commissioner representing District A. Now Naft's challenger, Republican Ryan Hamilton, won his primary election in June and will face Naft in November. He's a former lobbyist who became Community Relations Director for Vegas Stronger, a nonprofit dedicated to fighting homelessness. He took a leave of absence from that job to run for the county commission. Ryan, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me today, Joe.
It is great to have you here. You know, people typically run to unseat somebody because they think something is going wrong. What do you think Michael Naft and the current County Board of Commissioners is not getting right?
I think it's a plethora of issues that could adequately describe his quality of life. In the last 4 years, I don't think anyone would say traffic's gotten better. Nobody's commute is getting shorter here in Clark County. We know that homelessness in the last 3 years is up 47%. We know that Harry Reid Airport, as you mentioned in the introduction, has some of the worst delays. And you have developers who will develop in the city of Henderson, city of Las Vegas, city of North Las Vegas, and only come to the county as a matter of last resort because the permitting procedures and the contracting procedures are so difficult and so onerous. And so I would say on all of these marks, I wouldn't give a passing grade to the county commission or to the incumbent commissioner.
Of all those issues, what do you think is the most important?
I think homelessness, because it becomes an existential threat to the economic engine that you mentioned. At a certain point, you get homelessness and mental illness associated with your brand, and it really starts to tarnish it. And as a town oriented on getting people to come here, to spend money here, to have a luxurious time, to conference here, and ultimately to move here, we need to make sure that our reputation doesn't become one where our streets are not safe. And further, it's not right to the people who are suffering from homelessness to leave them alone and isolated out on the streets. I'm not okay with that either.
And a new report says the number of unhoused counted this year is 20% higher than a year ago. Some are seniors who've been pushed out of their homes by higher rents. There's been about a 20% increase in families on the streets. Current law does allow police to break up homeless encampments if there's available space for those people in shelters, but the U.S. Supreme Court said governments can remove homeless encampments off sidewalks and potentially arrest the homeless even if shelter space is available. Do you support that? Do you want the county and the Las Vegas Police Department to do that?
I mean, ultimately, if it comes down to that, yes, I do think the police should be empowered to break up homeless encampments, not only for the, you know, the people who live around homeless encampments, but they're also no desirable place to be if you're homeless. It's often a place of rampant crime, drug use, victimization, particularly towards vulnerable categories. So ultimately for the people who occupy those spaces, it's not safe for them to be there either. But I would suggest to you that that's a option of last resort, that we're not there yet, that we can assertively redirect people toward mental health treatment, toward substance abuse disorder treatment, and resolve a lot of these homeless cases. They're actually not homeless for an economic reason, but because they have a long-standing treatment-resistant drug addiction or a mental health issue that has presented itself that is exacerbated, obviously, by difficult economic circumstances. But there are at least two treatment providers in town who offer those services, and it should be the county's business to make sure that every group that they offer, every psychiatrist time slot that they have is full, to give these people an opportunity to move off the streets and to establish some kind of long-term recovery and stability.
You mentioned traffic issues here earlier. Your opponents helped set up the county's Office of Traffic Safety. This year, we're on track for another deadly year in vehicle crashes, but more so of people hitting and killing pedestrians. Would you support red light cameras that could ticket people who run red lights, which is seen as one of the culprits for this problem?
You know, ultimately, if it gets down to it, I suppose that I would. But again, I don't think we're there yet. If you drive up and down Russell Road from, let's say, the 15 to the 215, headed north or south, you'll encounter multiple lane closures. And if you try to get off of Russell and drive down Hacienda, guess what? You're going to encounter multiple lane closures again. We need to make sure that we're planning these road closures and lane closures in a way that doesn't infuriate people. And if they want to get off the road, which has major constructions, that both of the arterials on either side are free and open for them to use. And it seems to me, and I think most commuters will agree, that there's no rhyme or reason to some of these closures, that cones go up sometimes months in advance of work beginning. So my first reaction isn't to penalize drivers who may be running red lights, although I don't agree with it. My first reaction is, what can the county do to make it easier out on the roads? And one of the things that they can do is apply a little bit more foresight and planning with the deployment of some of these closures. And I think that would go a long way to reducing attitudes, you know, bad attitudes on the road. So I'm not in favor right now of the red light cameras. I'm not in favor of continued enforcement against people who are already struggling to make ends meet, and these aren't means tested, this traffic enforcement. I'm in favor of seeing what we can do on the county end to create safer roads with our deployment of traffic closures.
I want to go back to the homeless issue. As part of the effort to alleviate homelessness, there's a lot of talk about creating more homes, affordable homes. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people will also say if we increase the land available to build homes, we will have more issues with water. I wonder about water. Are you worried that we'll have enough? And should we keep saving and taxing people for using more water just to allow more growth and more worries about where the next year's water supply is going to come from?
We've got to make a decision as a community if we're going to really tamp down on growth and deal with the water that we have, or if we're going to secure an additional source of water. And I would suggest to you, and I know this is bold thinking, but if we have, you know, railways that deliver interstate freight, and we have highways that deliver passengers and other freight goods, and we have a fuel pipeline, water is even more basic to life than any of those things. And so perhaps it's time to think about a desalinization plant, maybe originating in California, being built along an existing right-of-way to come into town to provide us with a long-term sustainable source of water to alleviate some of the pressure that people are feeling right now. I'm not in favor of, again, increased enforcement and squeezing the people who are using water. I'm not in favor, and the county has put this on the agenda as a long-term goal. Ultimately, it lost out, but people should know where we're headed. They want to eliminate all turf, all natural grass in the county. That will make life totally unlivable here. It will exacerbate the urban heat island effect. I think that we should continue to grow, and it's time for bold new thinking about where we're getting this water. The current thinking is getting us nowhere. It ultimately won't allow us to grow into a place that anybody wants to live. And so to maintain those things, we've got to find new water.
Right now, the state is going to ban all ornamental grass. Mm-hmm. And that, I think that's going to happen by 2027.
But it is on the radar. The total elimination of grass is something that's seriously discussed at a leadership level in this county. And so I'm going to fight for new water to preserve that and for our quality of life here in town.
Ryan Hamilton is the Republican candidate for the Clark County Commission's District A. Ryan, thank you.
Thank you very much for having me.